Good evening, everyone. Bruchim Abayim. Welcome to our monthly, what we call Lincolnwood and Peterson Park Learning. Because we're on Zoom, I see we have several guests who are not native, I guess we would not call them native Lincolnwood or Peterson Park members of a Chabura, but I welcome all of you, and we all welcome you. And tonight is actually a very special evening that we can share together. Originally, we had a different topic planned for this evening, but in the last short period of time, we have been affected by two very significant events, personal events. The Gemara has an expression that says, when you have b'nei chabura, people of your chabura, people of your cohort, who pass on, b'nei chabura shemeis yidagu kol chabura, everybody is affected. And in the last short period of time, our small Lincolnwood and Peterson Park chabura, which is part of the greater Kollel community, which is really one big chabura, one big family, has lost two precious, beloved, and devoted members. And so I decided yesterday that it would be appropriate to shift the topic for tonight to be in the spirit, in the thought, and in the memory of these two special individuals. The first is Mrs. Roseanne Cope, Aleha HaShalom, who was a brilliant woman who, as her husband should live and be well, has pointed out that she was very intelligent and she loved learning. And it was very apparent from when I came, I don't remember the first time I gave a shiur in Lincolnwood or in KJBS, but she was always there. She was always active. She was raising her hand. For those who remember her vividly, you know, with such vivaciousness, such liveliness, she was super bright. She was always on point. She was always active and participating. You know, when I would give the drasha or a shiur, she would come over in Kiddush. She was always engaged in learning intellectually and paying attention and contributing in an amazing way. And so she's missed tonight, not just by her family, but the members of the Kollel, our Chabura. We miss her and her presence and her inspiration to continue to devote our lives to learning is felt and will continue to live on. And then, of course, the very recent passing of one of the matriarchs of the Lincolnwood Peterson Park family, of the Nussbaum family, of Mrs. Devorah Nussbaum, Aleha HaShalom, and the role that she played, not just in the learning, but in shaping our community, so many of the families, part of our community, as a regular in the learning, also in the setting up. You can imagine, remember, for those who are here, remember the Shabbatons and the lunches and the Kiddushim, always with that warm smile, the love that she had for us, the members of the Kollel, for me, for my family, together with Michael, Ad Me'ev Esrim Shani, should live in good health and have a lot of nachas. We think of them this week. We wish them condolences. Hamakom Yenachem Olsam B'Sorach Shavei Letzim V'Yerushalayim. So these were two women who, on the one hand, were very different, but on the other hand, they had so many shared values in terms of the importance of learning, the centrality of learning, being part of our Kollel, our community of learning, fostering it, participating. And so, you know, as one of the younger members of this group, it's an honor to think of them. Hopefully our learning tonight will be an aliyah for their neshama. Their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren should continue on their legacy of devotion to the Ribbono Shel Olam and his Torah. And Ron and Mike, they should have arichas yamim and good health and nachas from all of their children. That was the plan. And then this afternoon, the Ribbono Shel Olam put in one little added set of Knei Shelach, and that is that my father texted me this afternoon, even though my current cell phone is on the fritz, so I can't get any texts, but he reached me on my iPad to remind me that tonight is my grandmother's yahrzeit. And for those who are regulars in this group, not just the Lincolnwood group, but our regular Colo group, you know what an important role my grandmother, my paternal grandmother, Pesel Bas Reb Chaim Zev Halevi, her name was Paula Brand, Aleha HaShalom, maiden name was Krantz, a direct descendant of the Dubna Magid, Reb Yaakov Halevi Krantz, Zichron Levracha. What a central role she played in my life and the opportunity that we had, the gift that we had just a few years ago, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us to take our children to Israel to spend quality time with her, even our younger children. The fact that she was 80 years old and decided that she was going to come from Israel and pay a visit to us in Chicago just to spend time with us. So to have this Limud tonight talking about Jewish mothers on the night of my grandmother's yahrzeit is so meaningful and so special. To put her together with these auspicious women. And then I found out subsequently that tonight is also the yahrzeit of Nechama's father's grandparents who were murdered in Europe. He sent us a picture of the mass grave outside of their shtetl also tonight. So it's really an aliyah. We're joined by so many neshamas, and what a schus it is to learn together. So our topic is Jewish mothers, and this topic is one that over the years, many in this group we've talked about this in different ways. We've talked about a lot of aspects of Jewish mothers, and I'd like to consider it tonight from a different perspective that we haven't thought about maybe in the past, maybe some of you have. And this theme that we're going to explore tonight, it definitely relates to many of the themes that we've talked about in the past, but is different in a fundamental way. At the end of the Seder, every year, we ask, who knows about certain numbers? Who knows 1? Who knows 13? And we ask, who knows 4? Who knows 4? Who knows 4? 4 are the mothers. As they say in Yiddish, there's a beautiful Yiddish rendition of Echad Miyodea. Fear is the mamas. 4 are the mothers. Arba imahus. And I want to ask, what is it about mothers that has to do with the number 4? Why is it dafka that there are 4 mothers? It can't just be an accident or a coincidence that there are 4 mothers. There has to be something fundamental. What is it that there should be 4, dafka 4 mothers, not 3, not 5, 4 mothers? And we know that those 4 mothers, of course, historically are Sarah, Rivka, Leah, and Rachel, in that order of marriage. But it's not just a historical note. There has to be something fundamental. What is it about 4 mothers? We know that a woman, an Isha, is referred to as the Akeres Habayis, the mainstay of the house or the home. Beso, the Gemara says, a person's home, Zu Ishto, that's the person's wife. So why is it that a woman is associated with a bias, with a house? We know that there's such a thing called a Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaKnesses. These are spiritual sanctuaries, but they're not the only models of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that we also serve Hashem. We connect with God. We appreciate and apprehend HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the model of a har, of a mountain. Bahar Hashem Yeraeh. We also have the sadeh, the field, vayetze yitzchak lasuach basadeh, but a woman somehow is rooted and is associated with the bias, beso zu ishto, the akeres habayis. And why should that be? That's number 2. The third issue, which is a very well-known issue, it is taught to us in the Gemara Maseches Kedushin, is that there are different classes of mitzvos. There are mitzvos lo sase, negative mitzvos, restrictions. So there are 365 negative commandments. And then there are 248 ramach, positive, to do's, mitzvos. And this is given to us in these two categories. Within those mitzvos, there are also subcategories. So there are mitzvos ase, shahazman grama. There are time-bound, time-sensitive mitzvos. And then there are mitzvahs that say, lo hazman grama, that are not time-bound. So eating matzah, it's a mitzvah that say, shazman grama. It is a time-bound mitzvah. It's only on the night of Pesach. mitzvah saseh shasman grama, as many of us are familiar, are not applicable to women. Women are not obligated in time-bound mitzvahs and mitzvah saseh shasman grama, so much so that according to one opinion in the Rishonim, women would not be permitted to volunteer mitzvah saseh shasman grama, and if they did, that would be a violation of Baal Tosef. There is one opinion like that in the Rishonim that would be adding to a mitzvah, which is itself an avera, it's an issur daraisa. According to the Sephardic tradition following the Rambam, although women are permitted to fulfill a mitzvah saseh shasman grama, they do not recite a bracha. But according to our tradition, for those of us who are Ashkenazi Jews, so we observe the practice that women are permitted to, encouraged to, and even recite a bracha on voluntary mitzvahs, mitzvah saseh shasman grama. Great. So I want to understand, why is it that women are not obligated in mitzvah saseh shasman grama in time-bound mitzvahs? Now, obviously, all of these topics are well-worn and much ink has been spilled over this, but maybe in a new light, we can have a new appreciation for this idea that maybe we haven't considered before. So the way to perhaps think about this goes back to, fundamentally, goes back to the number four. Let's think about the number four in reference to the physical world in which we live. When you go to a store and you want to buy a piece of furniture in your house, what is it that you're looking for on the most basic level in a chair? You're looking for a chair that has four legs. You want a table that has four legs. They don't sell too many cars. They have some, but most cars have four wheels. Where does this come from? The Pasuk says in the beginning of Yechezkel, when he describes the celestial sphere, Yechezkel had a prophetic vision of the Ribono Shel Olam, of what it looks like on high, and he describes, whatever this means, not on a physical level, but there is some imagination that we have of the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the presence of Hashem resting on a throne, and this throne rests on four beings, four angels, four chayos. The word chaya literally means wild animal, but doesn't mean a chay. It means a type of fiery angel, a type of spiritual being that had different faces. One was of one kind, another one was a person, different. That's not what we're going to get into tonight. But the idea is that the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests, so as it were, on a chair of four chayos, just like a regular chair has four legs, just like a car has four wheels. The Ribono Shel Olam's kisei, so to speak, rests on four pillars, on four angels. And what that tells us, that maybe we haven't realized or thought about, is that the number four can represent, we call it in Hebrew, yitzivut, balance, rootedness, firmness. Because even though theoretically you can have a tripod, and sometimes a tripod is useful. Let's say I have one of these tripods. It's useful for putting my iPod on it to take videos. But most people don't want a tripod for a chair because it's not that stable. If you're looking for stability, you don't want a tricycle. You want a four-wheel drive car. You want a table that has four legs, not three legs. Now, the reason why four represents this rootedness, this balance, this firmness, it's because it stretches out in all directions. When we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, so Echad, the oneness, the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is expressed in different ways. So one thing that we have in mind is Echad, Aleph, there is only one, only you, Aleph. Ches has a top part and a bottom part, that the Ribono Shel Olam is the one in the upper world and the lower world, up and down. And then Dalet, Echad, the four directions of the earth, the four corners of the earth, in each one, each direction. That's why it's Echad with the number four. That's why when we shake the lulav, in addition to say that there's an up and a down, we go in four different directions. Because that is to be firmly rooted. If you have a pole, a post, if you have a basis in each corner, you're balanced. You are yatsiv. I would love to come up with a good English word for yatsiv. If somebody has it, please put it in the chat. But the idea of being permanent, of not being wobbly, not being off kilter, but being fixed, settled, rooted. This is the Dalid. That's the number four. It encompasses the entire structure of something. So for example, when you want to look at what are the different perspectives on something, so you open, let's say, the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos, and it says, well, what are different kinds of people? There are four qualities of people, four qualities of tzedakah, right? The Mishnayos give you patterns of four because four represents the four different sides of an issue, the four sides of the world, the four corners of the earth on which everything stands. Yes, on the one hand, from a principle standpoint, al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omed, but that doesn't give you the fullness, the context of perspective. Three is the basic. You can't sit on a chair that has less than three legs. But three legs are not enough to be firmly rooted. You need four. Some of you are familiar with the idea that a reshus hayachid, a private domain, let's say a house, is your personal space for Shabbos. So let's say I'm allowed to carry, even if there's no Eruv, I could carry within the home, within the house, I can carry as much as I like. You know, the Rambam Shita, the Rambam's opinion is in Hilchos Shabbos, that every reshus hayachid, to qualify as a personal space, as a domicile, it must have four walls. It must have four mechitzos. Now, different Rishonim dispute that, but even today, halachically, even if you don't require four walls, you need at least three walls and one demarcation. Because for the Rambam, a Rishus HaYachid, a permanent private domain, must have four sides to it. Not like a sukkah. A sukkah is a diras aroi. It's a temporary dwelling. So you can have three walls, you can have two walls, and then a tefach stepping out a little further. But for the Rambam, a Rishus HaYachid needs to be like a bayis. A bayis needs to have four walls, four sides, four legs. The bayis has to have four because the bayis is firm and fixed. It doesn't sway, it doesn't rock, it doesn't tip over. And maybe that's why the Isha, the woman, the mother, is the Akeres HaBayis. Because perhaps what we are understanding is that perhaps when men, and we're speaking typologically, not about any particular person, because different people play these roles differently, but there is a concept of yotzo v'shov, of going out and coming and doing and going all over the place. But when a person is in a state of rotzo v'shov, of going and coming, of going out into the field and going here and doing this and doing that, sometimes that person can lack a sense of permanence, of being rooted. They could be all over the place. But someone who is fixed and associated with the home doesn't have those wild swings of up and down and back and forth. That person is rooted. I wonder if what Chazal are trying to tell us is that typologically, women and mothers provide the anchor of Jewish life, the stability, the yitzivut of the Jewish home, the beiso zuishto. That number four, that four posts on which the house rests, that's where you're going to find stability. That's where you're going to find the woman of the house. And maybe that helps us understand why women are not obligated in mitzvah saseh shazman grama. There are many reasons and many arguments that are offered, but maybe this is another suggestion, which is that why do we have mitzvos asei shazman grama? Why do we have time-bound mitzvos? Well, because time is malleable, and at different times we experience things differently. So the way we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a certain time is going to be regulated and addressed by a certain mitzvah. Meaning, so I'll give you an example. When it comes around the time for the 14th of Nisan, that night, there's some force that exists in the world that we tap into. There's a spiritual connection that we build with Hashem in our souls by performing a mitzvah. The word mitzvah means tzavsa, to pair up with. So by eating matzah on the night of the Seder, so to speak, we're pairing our neshamas up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because there's something about this time which is different than the previous day. And this time needs us to really fulfill our neshama's purpose. During this time, we need to connect to that matzah. And so during the course of the year, we go through these almost like spiritual mood swings, which is what we're experiencing now during the 3 weeks. Tisha B'Av is the polar opposite, as we are familiar with, of the night of the Seder. It's the same night of the calendar year. It's why we eat an egg at the Seder, according to many of the Acharonim on Shulchan Aruch. There's even a piyut that if the Mashiach doesn't come, we're going to say on Tisha B'Av called B'tzeisim Mitzrayim, B'tzeisim Yerushalayim. There's a parallel between those two. So there are highs and lows, and it's almost like erratic. It's like a spiritual roller coaster. This time I need to do this. This time I need to do that. It's all over the place. Yeah, but that's true for people who experience a lot of highs and lows, and it's like a wild roller coaster. But if you're stable, if you are the number four, who knows four? The mothers know number four. The women know number four. Women who are spiritually stable, they don't go through these ups and downs because they are mutsav, they are rooted in spirituality, in the Ribono Shel Olam. They don't relate to mitzvah sasesha's mangrama. They don't relate to changing times. They have a fixed service of Hashem, which doesn't change with the moods of the time. That idea of being rooted, of being fixed, maybe then makes perfect sense why the word makom has four letters, why the word zman has three letters. Zman perhaps relates to the three fathers, to the avos. And the avos were out there, they were banging down doors, they were teaching, they were building, they were doing. But at the end of the day, where do they come home to? They come home to the bias, which is the fixed relationship with Hashem. We've talked in previous times about how emunah is rooted in aim, in mothers, how there's a certain fixed quality of an unconditional love that a mother has that maybe doesn't always exist for a father, because there's something very stable about the role of the mother. The role of the mother is fixed, almost like the terra firma, the bias. The Gemara has an expression about one of the greatest Jewish women of all time, of Esther, that she is referred to, as the Gemara, as karka olam, as the dirt of the ground, as the earth. The woman is the place, is the makom, while perhaps men are more connected to the zman. So what are we looking for now? The Medrash says in Eicha Rabba that Avraham Avinu came and pleaded with God, can you redeem the Jewish people? Not happening. Yitzchak pleaded, not happening. Yaakov pleaded, not happening. But Rachel comes, Rachel Mavaka Albanel, the Ribono Shel Olam says, fine. Because on the one hand, yes, the service of the fathers, the three fathers, the Drei Tatas, that it's very good, it's very important, it contributes a lot. But that is subject to Zman, and Zman is very fickle. It comes and goes. It waxes and wanes, it's wild. It's not firm like Makom, it's not consistent. Rachel says, I am the fourth of the four mothers. There is an unbroken, unwavering connection and commitment that the Ribono Shel Olam, you have to us, your children. And that's what we're asking for. We're asking you now to be our mother. And that's what the Gemara says in Brachos, That's an important relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the Ribbono Shel Olam is not just Avinu Malkeinu, he's not just a father, a male figure, he's also a mother. Like the Navi says, Hasishkach Isha Ula Merachim Ben Bitna. Can a mother forget her child? You know, like the placards, you know, when you drive on the highway and you see these billboards, be a father, encouraging fathers to be fathers. When did you ever see a billboard, mothers be mothers? Mothers are always, they are fixed. They are the number four. They're not moving. They're stable. The mothers play that role for the children. So the Gemara says, the Ribbono Shel Olam is also our mother. Rachel says, Ribbono Shel Olam, you are a mother. Our relationship is fixed. So you need to redeem the children. That is the stability of the relationship that is modeled for all of us through the Jewish mother that ultimately traces its way back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in this time, when we are dealing with the Zman, the ups and downs of coronavirus and of the 3 weeks and of all of the individual challenges, we ask all of our mothers, we ask Roseanne Olea Shalom, we ask Devorah, we ask my Bobby, Pesel Bas, Chaim Zev Halevi, we ask them to go to the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, we were Jewish mothers. We raised our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren in the spirit of Torah with consistency, with the message of the number four, the bias. We are the bias. So we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, Yivne Beiso Bekarov, B'nei Beischa Bekarov, build your bias. We built the bias here. We're asking you, Ribbono Shel Olam, to build the bias for all of us. Halavai, we should all be zoche to come back together very soon to give each other a hug, to be mechazik each other, all those of us who are, you know, feeling that distance, to celebrate together with the Bias Goel Tzedek, with Mashiach, with building that bias, together with the all of Klal Yisrael, the entire community, the Lincolnwood Peterson Park community. Hopefully I'll be back in the neighborhood very soon for our next shiur. Our next shiur, Mirtz Hashem, will be in Elul, although I invite everybody to continue to